showtime.
I am big.
To Jurassic Park.
It's
welcome.
The picture that got
to
small.
The real.
What kind of a big deal?
Hello?
Got the painting king. With great
the painting, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Great. Small wizard Harry.
What are we doing
up there? They call me Mr.
Echoes of Eternity.
Well, it's not the many of life that counts. It's the life in your men.
Life.
Love. Ever dance with the devil and
rise away.
What have you done to its eyes?
Hello and welcome to this episode of the podcast, The Mnemonic Tree, where we add a single mnemonic leaf to our tree of knowledge. I'm Jans, your mnemonic man, and today's episode will be on the houses or dynasties of the British monarchy. And this came about from a couple of good suggestions from Jamie from Queensland. Dating back over 1,000 years, the British monarchy is rich in history, and as I have found out, exceedingly complicated to get your head around. Everyone, it seems, has different terminology for the same thing. For instance, houses, dynasties, kings or queens are all used interchangeably. Also, many lists are slightly different in structure and may omit a certain house. A good example of this is the first on the list, which is the Saxon kings, which is left off many lists. Hence, I have tried to mirror Wikipedia's opinion as best as possible. So I encourage everyone to do their own research to discover and understand the varying reasons behind all of these nuances. Now, getting back to the history. It all started, depending on your opinion, with the Saxon kings, which included the House of Wessex, where King Alfred the Great was the key figure. Then on to the Norman kings, which most notably included William the Conqueror and that famous battle in 1066. Then on to the Plantagenet kings, which included two key figures, Richard the Lionheart and King John, who signed the Magna Carta in 1215. The House of Tudor, that included Henry VIII, his dad, Henry VII, and of course Queen Elizabeth I. Then on to the Stuarts, which included James I, who united the crowns of England and Scotland. And then on to the Hanoverian period with the very well-known Queen Victoria. And finally, the Windsors, who were once known as the Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, which included Queen Elizabeth II, the longest-serving British monarch in history. So as I said, today's mnemonic is on the houses of the British monarchy. So with no further ado, we will begin with a summary from Wikipedia. The list of kings and reigning queens of the Kingdom of England begins with Alfred the Great, who initially ruled Wessex, one of the 7 Anglo-Saxon kingdoms which later made up modern England. Alfred styled himself King of the Anglo-Saxons from about 886, and while he was not the first king to claim to rule all of the English, his rule represents the start of the first unbroken line of kings to rule the whole of England, the House of Wessex. Arguments are made for a few different kings thought to have controlled enough Anglo-Saxon kingdoms to be deemed first king of England. For example, Offa of Mercia and Egbert of Wessex are sometimes described as kings of England by popular writers, but it is no longer the majority view of historians that their wide dominions are part of a process leading to a unified England. Historian Simon Keane states, for example, that Offa was driven by a lust for power, not a vision of English unity, and what he left was a reputation, not a legacy. This refers to the period in the late 8th century when Offa achieved a dominance over many of the kingdoms of southern England, but this did not survive his death in 796. Likewise, in 829, Egbert of Wessex conquered Mercia, but he soon lost control of it. It was not until the late 9th century that one kingdom, Wessex, had become the dominant Anglo-Saxon kingdom. Its king, Alfred the Great, was overlord of Western Mercia and used the title King of the Angles and Saxons, but he never ruled Eastern and Northern England, which was then known as the Danelaw, having earlier been conquered by the Danes from southern Scandinavia. His son, Edward the Elder, conquered the Eastern Danelaw, but Edward's son, Athelstan, became the first king to rule the whole of England when he conquered Northumbria in 927, and he is regarded by some modern historians as the first true king of England. The title King of the English, or Rex Anglorum, in Latin, was first used to describe Athelstan in one of his charters in 928. The standard title for monarchs from Athelstan until John was King of the English. In 1016, Canute the Great, a Dane, was the first to call himself King of England. In the Norman period, King of the English remained standard, with occasional use of King of England or Rex Anglia. From John's reign onwards, all other titles were eschewed in favour of King or Queen of England. The Principality of Wales was incorporated into the Kingdom of England under the Statute of Rhuddlan in 1284, and in 1301, King Edward I invested his eldest son, the future King Edward II, as Prince of Wales. Since that time, the eldest sons of all English monarchs, except for King Edward III, have borne this title. After the death of Queen Elizabeth I without issue in 1603, her cousin, King James VI of Scotland, inherited the English crown as James I of England, joining the crowns of England and Scotland in personal union. By royal proclamation, James styled himself King of Great Britain, but no such kingdom was actually created till 1707, when England and Scotland united during the reign of Queen Anne to form the new Kingdom of Great Britain, with a single British Parliament sitting at Westminster. This marked the end of the Kingdom of England as a sovereign state. Now on to today's mnemonic. And the mnemonic for the houses of the British monarchy is Snippet Show. Now, snippet is spelled a little bit differently. It's missing a P, so it's S-N-I-P-E-T. And we take all of the consonants, and the show is spelt normally, and again, we take all of the consonants. And for this one, we picture a movie that was made all about the kings and queens of England, from snippets collected from the archives of history. Hence the movie was called The Snippet Show. So we'll get into it. For the snippet, we take the S for the Saxon kings, the N for the Norman kings, the I's assisting, the P, Plantagenet kings, the E's assisting, and the T, the Tudors. For the show, we take the S for the Stuarts, the H for the Hanoverians, the O is assisting, and the W, the Windsors. And we'll just go over that one more time. So that's the mnemonic for the houses of the British monarchy. And the mnemonic is Snippet Show. For the snippet, we take the S for the Saxon kings, the N for the Norman kings, the I is assisting, the P for Plantagenet kings, the E is assisting, and the T, the Tudors. For the show, we take the S for the Stuarts, the H for the Hanoverians, the O is assisting, and the W, the Windsors. Now on to
5 fun facts.
And the first fun fact today, fact number 1. There was a brief time in Britain where there was no king or queen. This occurred when King Charles I was executed in 1649. Britain became a republic for 11 years before the monarchy was restored in 1660. And fact 2. In 1917, during the First World War, George V made a radical change and changed both the name of the dynasty and the surname of the family to Windsor. This name Windsor was adopted from a castle and came as a result of anti-German feeling during the war. And fact number 3. Sticking with name changes, after the Queen's accession to the throne in 1952, the royal family's name of Windsor was confirmed. However, in an attempt to distinguish their own direct descendants from the rest of the royal family, both the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh decided that their descendants would take the name Mountbatten Windsor. Another thing the Queen decided to do on her death was to give Prince Andrew the role of looking after her corgis. Now, many have questioned this decision, but I think it makes sense. He does have expertise in grooming. And fact number 4. The House of York and the House of Lancaster descended from the same family. This is why they appear under the House of Plantagenet, where Edward III ruled as king from 1327 until 1377. This resulted in a civil war between the two powerful families, which was called the War of the Roses, where they would fight for the crown. And the last fact, fact number 5. When Richard III died at the Battle of Bosworth, Henry VII took the reins, he married Elizabeth of York, and thus united the two warring houses, York and Lancaster. He was a great politician and greatly increased the wealth of the country. But unfortunately, or fortunately for history buffs, he left us Henry VIII. Now on to
the three question quiz.
And the first question, question number 1. Queen Victoria was under which house? And question 2. King Henry VIII was part of which house? And question 3. Which Norman king ruled from 1066 to 1087? And also, name the famous battle he took part in. And we do have a bonus question. That question is, approximately how many monarchs of England and Britain have there been over a period of approximately 1,200 years? And your options are 43, 53, or 63. It's now time to recap that mnemonic. And the mnemonic for the houses of the British monarchy is Snippet Show. For the snippet, we take the S for the Saxon kings, the N for the Norman kings, the I's assist in, the P, Plantagenet kings, the E's assist in, and the T, the Tudors. For the show, we take the S for the Stuarts, the H for the Hanoverians, the O's assist in, and the W, the Windsors. Now on to the answers for the three-question quiz. And the first question was, Queen Victoria was under which house? And Queen Victoria was under the House of Hanoverians. And question 2, King Henry VIII was part of which house? And King Henry VIII was part of the House of Tudor. And question 3. Which Norman king ruled from 1066 to 1087? And also, name the famous battle he took part in. And the Norman king that ruled from 1066 to 1087 was King William I the Conqueror, who is famous for the Battle of Hastings. And our bonus question, approximately how many monarchs of England and Britain have there been over the period of approximately 1,200 years? And your options were 43, 53, or 63. And the number of monarchs of England and Britain there have been in approximately 1,200 years is 63. Now on to
Word of the Week.
And this week's Word of the Week is felicific. And that is spelt F-E-L-I-C-I-F-I-C. And the meaning according to dictionary.com is causing or tending to cause happiness. And our simple example today is Henry VIII's felicific feeling for most of his wives was generally short-lived. And just before we leave, as it's the 120th episode, we have a winner to announce for the mnemonic of the month. So, the winner for this month's mnemonic of the month is, drumroll, Sean from Richmond in London. And he did a mnemonic on famous pirates. And his mnemonic is My Cab. And the My is spelt M-I, with the I assisting, and the cab is spelt double C A double B, and the A is assisting. So we'll just go through it. We take the M for Madam Cheng, the I is assisting, and the cab, we take the first C for Captain Kidd, the second C, Calico Jack, the A is assisting, the first B, Blackbeard, and the second B, Barbarossa Brothers. So thank you very much for that, Sean. I love that one, and I'd definitely love to do an episode on famous pirates in the future. If you could just shoot me your details, I'll send you a coffee mnemonic mug and a mnemonic pen. Well, that takes us to the end of another episode. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join our mnemonic community, you can reach us at the Mnemonic Tree Podcast, which is all one word, .com on the website. From there, you'll find links in the top right to Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Your feedback is much appreciated, so if you have the time, please rate and review the podcast on your chosen platform. Any reviews read on the podcast will receive a small gift of appreciation. And if you want to take the mnemonic challenge, go to the website, scroll down a little, and you'll find several buttons called the Mnemonic Tree Challenge. They contain all the mnemonics to test your recall. Until next time, remember as Socrates said, there is no learning without remembering. See you next time.
60% of the time, it works every time.
That doesn't make sense.